One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Well, that is 2 Timothy chapter 4, and that is what we are going to interact with today on Abounding Grace Radio as we continue looking at, with Pastor Mike Brown of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, the office of the pastor. The Bible has given us a lot of info, Mike, about the pastor and the responsibilities of the pastor. And today we're going to tackle 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look at how Paul specifically here gives the mandate for the pastor to preach the word. We invite you to go to the website at agradio.org to explore that website, to download the podcast, to find maps to the churches that are here represented, many resources there for you. So do please again visit that website at agradio.org. Well, Mike, today we take up a big subject dealing with the calling of the pastor. And really, it's one of the most important things we could talk about today because it has everything to do with the mission and the mandate of the church, why the Lord gave a church, why it's here today, what it's supposed to do today. And when this is not in place, you have disastrous consequences in the life of God's people and in society even in general. But think about what the calling is today here. The Lord told through his servant, announcing to us today, to this day, that our responsibility is to preach the word in season and out of season. That comes with a lot of challenges, doesn't it, today?
Absolutely. We're always distracted by the things of this world and what might tickle the ears of listeners, what might fill churches, what people might appreciate most. And we're always tempted to look to the left or to the right. But the church needs to stay focused upon the mission that Christ gave to his church to fulfill. And it's interesting, this passage that we're looking at in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, you know, that passage is so important, Chris, because we need to remember when Paul wrote this letter. This is the last letter he wrote before he died. He's in prison now, his second imprisonment in Rome. He's had 30 years of ministry. He knows this is the end. He's about to lose his life. And there's one last thing that he wants to say to that young pastor of the church in Ephesus, Timothy, and it's this: preach the word. In fact, the first three chapters of 2 Timothy are really just introduction, getting him up to this. This is the main thing he wants to say to that guy in Ephesus before Paul dies. Preach the word, Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is what the church is supposed to do.
That's really helpful. And I just want to echo what you just said. At the end of this section, Paul says, "For I'm being already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And now there's laid up a crown of righteousness for me."
Right.
You know, and so he's saying that. He's saying, listen, I've been through the war. This is the first part of 1st and 2nd Timothy, especially 2nd, like you talked about. I've been through the war. He discusses the warfare. He challenges Timothy to not lose heart in the warfare, to suffer for the gospel. This is what it's all about. Paul is at the very end of the road. And I think one of the helpful things to see here is what leads up to this calling, Mike. You know, it's an urgency. And I guess maybe we don't talk enough today about urgency in the ministry and what really is going on around us, what really is happening on a spiritual level. But notice how what Paul says here in the perilous times that he describes in chapter 3. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. And I spent the time to read that because that's not Joel Osteen's perspective on our times, is it?
No, not at all. And that's something that we need to think about, is that urgency. The urgency is not to tell people how to have their best life right now, how to give them a little skip in their step and a smile on their face, but the urgency is to see their minds renewed through the Word of God because of the pollution that still exists in us and because of the perilous times in which we live. We live in a fallen and evil world, and where's the voice that we're going to hear from God except through the preaching of the Word? That's why it's so urgent.
Right, exactly. And so it's important to understand these times. I think you could translate it here, dangerous seasons. These dangerous seasons, they come upon us. And every generation that's ever lived sees themselves as living in a dangerous season. So we can look at all these things developing in a given society, and especially in ours, and we realize the urgency for the message of the gospel preached. And it's fascinating here that that's exactly what he challenges Timothy with. And notice this, he says in verse 13 of 2 Timothy, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now listen to what the charge is before he gets to the main charge. But you must continue in the things in which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them, from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's fascinating here because, Mike, what he's basically saying to Timothy is, listen, you just need to hold on to what you have. You've been taught something. You've been given this deposit, this truth. You've been given a stewardship from God. You've been called to this. And you know where the source of life is found. You know where this ministry, what it's based upon. It's based upon the Scriptures.
Right.
The Scriptures are given, and they're able to make you, as they have, wise for salvation. That means that you're ministering that because it's making others wise for salvation. But in the perilous times that we live, just holding on to what you have is going to be a great challenge.
Right. And remember, the kind of guy that Timothy was, he was timid. He was prone to physical illness. Paul has to encourage him. He's discouraged by a lot of the things that are going on in the church. He probably has people opposed to him. And Paul is saying, look, I know all of that. That's all part of the suffering that a minister must endure. But you have to hold fast to the words of life and proclaim those words of life, because we live in this age where people are lovers of self, narcissism, lovers of money, greed, lovers of pleasure, hedonism. Good grief. That's the times in which we live. I mean, all you got to do is look at a Miley Cyrus video and you see all of that stuff epitomized in our culture. I'm not suggesting you watch that kind of stuff, but that's exactly what we see in our world today. Where are the voices that will bring life? It's only in the Word of God. Only Jesus has the words of life. Remember the disciples when they said, where else shall we go? You alone have the words of life. Paul is telling Timothy, you got to proclaim those things. The church has to do that today. For what else will raise the dead spiritually? What else will give us renewal of mind and conform us to the image of Christ?
Yeah, that is so helpful. And I love you outlining those chief things that are happening in our day with hedonism and narcissism. I mean, you're right, Mike. That is our day. I mean, Facebook is essentially a play button for your own life movie so that everyone can read about you. And I think this is helpful to think about what the apostle is calling the pastor to here in the midst of all of this. And even what he says here, you mentioned the struggles of Timothy, you know, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. This is a hard ministry. This is a hard calling. When you step into this, there's a fight. There's a fight for people's souls. There's a fight to pull people out of the darkness, and they're being pulled this way and that way. And here's the antidote to this great perilous seasons that come upon us. He says here It's the Holy Scriptures. Right. And, you know, it's interesting that we have one of the most beautiful statements about what the Word of God is in the midst of this, Mike, where he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration from God and is profitable. Here's how it benefits. Right. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for your knowledge of God and of you and of how you're brought out of darkness and how you're saved. For reproof. It confronts you. It confronts your sin. It confronts your misery, and it shows you that you need a way of escape in Christ. For correction, it corrects your life. It shows you that you're on the wrong path, and you need to be on the right path.
Corrects your thinking, too.
That's right. Instruction in righteousness. And here is that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good word. So he's taking us in the midst of all of this awful things, these awful things that are happening in a given society. And he's taking us back to the calling that is saying, first of all, remember that the only thing that has made you wise in this present evil, dark age is the Word of God.
Right.
And we've got to hold on to that. And it's sad, Mike, you know, if we look throughout the history of the church, even if you look at denominations, they say that you have generally about 100 years before there's a path and trajectory of the thing going liberal in its theological positions. But whatever the case, what we've seen throughout history in the church is an attack on the authority of the Bible and the authority of Scripture.
Right.
And Paul is saying, you got to hold on to that.
Right.
High view of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. The minute that we turn the Bible into anything less than the authoritative revelation of the triune God, and make it a manual for happy living or a manual for figuring out the news today or anything. Anytime we try to use the Scriptures rather than receive them and be under them as their authority, then we are attacking the authority of the Word of God.
And that leads us, all that background, to the main thing that we want to hit on now is the calling of the pastor. And what is right after he outlines the times in which we live, the dangerous seasons, what's the first thing that he says in chapter 4 before he's ready to say, I'm done, I'm going out, my time's over, my ministry's completed? He says this, I charge you, therefore, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. And it's important to say, he's coming as judge. This is serious stuff. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. You know, this is important, this calling, Mike. I mean, how simple is that? Preach the word. What is preaching? You are announcing, you're heralding. We are postmen. We are those delivering a message from God himself. We don't have the prerogative to make that message something other than what it is. We are simply, as pastors, postmen, delivering a message that God has said, when it's faithfully delivered, he will use, through the foolishness of the message preached, he will save people and bring them out of the darkness.
Right. We're merely ambassadors for the king's message. It's not our message. It's the king's. And that's what a minister, a pastor, is supposed to do. He's first of all to be a great preacher. And that's one thing we should remember, is that sometimes I've heard people say, well, you know, this guy, he's a great preacher, but he's not a good pastor. And usually what they mean by that is he can preach really well, but, you know, he doesn't counsel so much, or he doesn't give me the warm fuzzies when I'm talking with him. I don't like his personality that much. You know, you don't have a good pastor if he's not a good preacher, if he's not a faithful preacher of the Word of God. That's the first priority. Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, feed them. And the way you feed them is with the food of the Word of God. As Isaiah 55 says, it's his food, rich food, good meat, good bread, fine wine. We give that to the soul. We feed the soul of God's people through the proclamation of this word. We're merely ambassadors. We're merely the under shepherds of the shepherd who owns the flock, and we know he loves that flock. And so our job is to be faithful to feed that flock and tend them until the shepherd returns.
I mean, can you imagine, Mike, if a postman went through the mail ahead of time and said, you know, I'm only going to deliver those letters that are nice. I'm going to take all those other letters that have bad news, and I'm going to dump them in the trash so that the people don't get them. Can you, what would you do to your postman?
Report him after I'm in collections for not receiving all the bills I need to pay.
Exactly. Took all the bills and threw them out into the trash. I mean, that's essentially what an abusive shepherd does when he does not deliver the whole counsel of the word of God. And that's why Paul is saying here, preach the word. It's the word of the law and the gospel. You've got to preach the whole counsel. Right. You've got to deliver everything that God has said. And that's why Paul could say at the end of his ministry in Ephesus, you know, I have not shunned in preaching to you the whole counsel of God. It's my conviction throughout the whole time that I've been with you. I'm not going to hold anything back. Mm-hmm. I've got to tell you what God says. My conscience is clear on that. And I've always said, Mike, I want to be able to, as a pastor, when I finished my ministry, to be able to say in good conscience, I have not shunned to declare whatever God's Amen. Word has said. Amen. I've not said, ooh, I'm not going to say that because it might offend somebody.
Right.
You know,
that's one of the reasons we preach in that Reformation style of Lectio Continua, which means to go through a whole book of the Bible. We don't merely jump around and pick the parts we like, but we have to preach all of it, proclaim all of it, because we need all of it. Mm-hmm. All scripture is breathed out, not just the texts that preach well or the texts that make us feel good, but all scripture, even the genealogies, even the seemingly boring passages of historical data, all of it is necessary for us.
Right, he gave us books.
Right.
He gave us books to be preached through, and that's just helpful to say. And that leads us into the next concern of the apostle here. You know, if the pastor's not preaching books, what is he doing? Well, right. I think the apostle now tells you the danger of what's going to happen in these dangerous seasons, these perilous times in which we live, when he says this, I want you to preach the word, Timothy. You keep your head in the book. You keep your head down. Good seasons, bad seasons, whenever the word is received, whenever it's not, you just keep preaching. Results belong to the Lord. But then he says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now that is so connective to our day. Think about what he said here. There's a time coming where they're not even going to want to put up with hearing doctrine. Mm-hmm. And I'll just give a summary of that, Mike, and then you run with this. But think about it. What is the bad word in our day? Doctrine. Doctrine is a bad word for people. Doctrine divides, we hear. Okay. They're not even going to endure it. But what are they going to do? Because they want their ears tickled. Because they want to come into a place where they're going to feel good and it's going to be uplifting for their daily life routines. They're going to heap for themselves all these kind of teachers that they like.
Right.
Teachers that aren't even really trained in the word. They're going to heap for those who are able to give them a word that does what they want, that builds them up in their own self-esteem. And what will they do? They will turn their ears in this process away from God's truth as it is revealed in the Word of God, as it is revealed in Jesus, and instead they will be turned aside to fables. And mm-hmm. I think you could better translate that to, especially for our day, short stories.
Yeah.
They are turning aside their ears and they're from the truth to short stories. And isn't it sad that most churches today, Mike, you get up there, the pastor is doing nothing other than giving personal short stories from his own personal experience at the expense of an avoidance of preaching the word of God.
Yeah, that's certainly true. You know, and the word can also be translated myths. And, you know, what's often happening is by a preacher giving the audience what he thinks they really will appreciate and what they really would like, we can easily wander off into false belief, into myths. And, you know, one of the myths that is purported nowadays is that God exists to give you your best life right now. That's a myth. God does not exist to give us our best life. He's not a genie so that I can have more health, more wealth, and be happy in life. I exist for his good pleasure. So really, a lot of preaching today has the whole biblical message turned on its head, where God exists for us rather than we existing for God and our purpose being to know him and glorify him forever. And the truth is, you know, as you pointed this passage out, Chris, nowadays you can find any teacher, any pastor, any church to give you the message that you want to hear. You want to divorce your spouse? spouse for an unbiblical reason? Well, you can go find a church that's okay with that. You want to practice homosexuality and still be a Christian? You can find a church that will tell you that's okay. And you can justify any sin that the Bible identifies, and by finding a church where they're going to smooth that over by smooth speech that Paul warned us about, and you will wander off into a false belief, into a myth, because you're not hearing the full counsel of God.
That is so helpful. And I think, you know, you look at the approaches of the church today, you know, what do you need?
Right.
We'll offer you the ministry room. We'll offer you the ministry, every kind of ministry under the sun, every kind of program under the sun to meet your needs. And essentially what we've done is we've adopted the consumer American big business model.
Right.
I mean, when I go down to the store, Mike, and let's just say I'm looking for something to whiten my teeth.
Right.
I'm looking for the packaging.
Right.
I'm going to find the prices slashed. I'm going to determine for me
right.
what is the best need to get my teeth whitened.
As a consumer.
Right. And when you approach the church this way, you redefine everything
exactly.
that God has said in his word
exactly.
about what we need. We don't come to the Lord telling him what we need.
Right.
We come as recipients of what he's already told us in his word.
Right.
is the answer to the misery
exactly,
that we're in.
Exactly.
And therefore, the pastor is sent on a mission from God to preach that and not deviate
That's
from that
exactly
message.
Exactly right. Right. We're not supposed to approach Christ and his church like consumers. It's okay to approach a store like a consumer. That's what you're supposed to do. But we approach the church and Christ as disciples.
Right. And I think that's really important to think about, because that means then that the church that is, I mean, I think of these small churches, and it doesn't, size is really irrelevant. That's not the point. But the small churches where the pastor is faithfully delivering the word of God and he's laboring hard and few people come in. And then next door is this giant mega church that has the espresso bar, the very
right.
cool hip band. And everyone says, wow,
right.
look at all the people. Look at the life going
they
on.
They must
there.
Be right. This must be the right place.
Yeah.
It's big.
And we've got to have more discernment than that today. We've got to know the churches that have a name in this world, whatever is a name before men is an abomination in the sight of God.
All right.
And so these are the kind of things that Paul's warning us against here, as he says here in this section, but you be watchful. What we need today are Christians with discernment. What we need today are Christians who are willing to listen to the word of God on its own terms and listen to what God is telling us is our basic greatest need as sinners and what the ministry of the church is all about. Without that, we just create the Lions Club. We just create a club.
That's right.
And that's not the church.
No, it's not. No, we need to be faithful. And the size of a church, listen, if you're listening to this program right now, the size of your church and how big and pretty it is and how many programs it has does not determine its faithfulness. That is not an indication of faithfulness. The indication of faithfulness is Christ proclaimed week in and week out, the person and work of Christ. Is your church faithfully proclaiming the gospel every Sunday? If I go there this Sunday, will I hear the word of God proclaimed where Christ is central? Will I have the sacraments administered to me, baptism and the Lord's Supper? And are there elders there faithfully administering church discipline? If those three marks aren't in place, then we can't call it a true church, no matter how big it is or how many programs it has. This is what Paul told Timothy to do. Preach the word, and it's out of the word, out of the gospel, that the church will be created.
Right. And I think this is something to always remember in light of everything that the apostle is encouraging us here with the Church of Jesus Christ and its mission that he has given to preach the word in season, out of season. I think it's right, Mike. I could walk into a church and talking about discernment, you know, the primary means of grace being the preaching of the word. That's what Paul is saying here. You preach the word. I can tell you within 2 or 3 minutes whether the pastor, I can tell you what he's done all week.
Right.
You know, is he seriously giving an exposition? Is he seriously engaging God's text, God's word that he has called upon him to preach? What does he demonstrate when he's up there? Happy-go-lucky guy, ready here to have a good time with the boys and just help us for our journeys along the way? Or is he really seriously, thoughtfully
right.
engaging the Word of God so as to bring to bear upon the people's lives and hearts and consciences the message from God himself.
Right. He's supposed to be a workman who's faithfully exegeting that text throughout the week. That's what you pay him for, so that he has a message prepared from the king. It's the king's message. All the material, the king has already revealed. The workman there is to make sure that he's got that message right, correct, and then bring it to bear upon the people of God.
Right. And so I think maybe a basic helpful distinction then, as people are thinking through this, is your church, is your service turned into an event? Is it a niche event of the pastor and his own personal agenda for you? Or is it a gathering of God's people, a service of God giving you grace, right, washing your feet, giving you his message so that you would receive the words of life that are able to give life to you and bring you out of the darkness into this marvelous light?
That's right. It's his event. And that's why we don't even like to say this is my church. Right. It's not Chris Gordon's church or Mike Brown's church. It's Christ's church. We merely serve that church and that congregation as pastors. It's God's event, Christ's event. He's the one giving and even serving in the service.
Well, we are grateful you've tuned into Abounding Grace Radio today, and we hope this message has been a blessing to you. We invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. There are maps to the churches here represented, many resources there for you. Download this podcast, as we want these radio broadcasts to be a blessing to you, an encouragement to you, that you would find a church. I mean, this is a crucial question for you in our day. Find a church where the Word of God is faithfully preached, that you may know the power of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Thanks for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you. If you're looking for a church with biblical worship, Christ-centered preaching, and the love of the family of God, we invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Our worship service times on Sundays are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.